This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning. Hello, everyone. Are you guys alive? Are you also just as emotional as I am after that worship session? Hallelujah. I'm just going to pray and get us started. Just even as I was worshiping, I just got so emotional. And the reason I got so emotional is because I realized again that the joy that I'll be speaking about this morning did not come cheaply. It came at a huge, huge cost. It came at a huge price, where God the Father had to give up his one and only Son, who died on the cross and rose again. Hallelujah. He rose again that we could experience salvation and joy in salvation. Father, we just thank you this morning. We honor your presence in this place. We honor your presence in this place, Lord. Jesus, we thank you for your life that you gave for us, that we can be reconciled to the Father and that we may know your joy, Lord. Have your way in me and us this morning. Help me to share your heart, God. Open our hearts to receive that which is from you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Where do I even start? When I felt the Lord speaking to me about talking about joy, I had a bit of a debate with the Lord, I must say. If I really have to be honest, I was like, Lord, with everything that's happening here, who wants to talk about like joy? And I felt so embarrassed, actually. A little bit, because I'm like, God, like, do I really have to? You know, people are going through real things, real traumatic situations, and now I have to be the one to tell everyone, rejoice. So, you know, as, you know, a daughter and father would do in a relationship, we had to talk it through a bit. And I just remember just the Lord just reminding me and just showing me so many things about joy, because he's been talking to me about joy for quite a while, actually. And so this is not something I'm just coming here to share and say rejoice. It's because God is walking the same thing with me. And I'm saying, Lord, I want it as well. We're on the same page here this morning. The word joy appears over 200 times in the Bible. That means we need to pay attention to this a bit. It needs some paying attention to. And as I was just saying, Lord, why? Like, can I not, like, what, how must I approach it? And God reminded me and said to me, Siko, you have forgotten the power of joy. You have forgotten the power of joy. That joy set before Jesus was the very thing that moved him towards the cross. Now, if you want to talk about joy, you realize it's not some fluffy concept, some, you know, limited to some emotions. Yes, it's multidimensional, but it has a power. And I said, you know what, Lord, you know, it's crazy because Christians and believers are actually supposed to be the happiest people on the planet. We are supposed to be the happiest people on earth. So happy that it scares people. So happy that people want to know, what is it that you've got? I want that. How is it that you're able to rejoice yet there's COVID? How is it that you're able to rejoice when there's taxi violence, when people are going through so much? How is it that the people in Afghanistan, the believers in Afghanistan, are focusing on the joy set before them, which is Jesus, that they're able to go through what they're going through? But our generation is so ridden with anxiety. Our generation is so riddled with fear. We're so intimidated. In fact, I was saying, God, but people, we're not even expecting to have joy anymore. Who of us here, if I had to say, who of us here is expecting to have joy? Just generally in your life, or even in this season, are you expecting to have joy? I had to ask myself that same question. God, am I even expecting joy? We have such low expectations when it comes to joy. God says the culture and the context that we're in has devalued joy so much. We have devalued joy. Yes, there are legitimate reasons why we should be sad and why we should be angry and all these things. There's disappointment. There's so many things. But it has become way too normal for us as believers to have self-pity, to have anxiety, and to have fear more easily than we have joy. And I feel this is an area that God wants to address in this particular season, because joy is tested that it is genuine through adversity. If you've got real joy, you will know when you're going through a tough time and you're experiencing joy. And I feel God is saying to us, we need to check our joy this morning. We need to check our joy as believers this morning. I really believe God wants to deliver us, like strongholds will be falling off this morning. Things that have been built up over time, ways of thinking that have been built up over time, that God wants to address and deal with this morning. For some, it's instant. For some, it's a journey. But I believe God is on the move in this area, in the name of Jesus. And I've been thinking a lot about when I first encountered the Lord. And I've been sharing a bit as well here, when I first encountered the love of the Father. And I realized, wow, that season was a season characterized by joy. And I don't mean joy is just a feeling or a decision or some physical expressions. Those are elements of joy. But I mean that deep-seated joy, you know, that deep confidence, that joy that we experience, like when joy becomes an inner confidence in your inner man, you know, it becomes a physical, almost a spiritual quality. It's a spiritual state that you're in. That's the type of joy I'm talking about. The type of joy that's able to withstand pain and confusion and persecution. I remember that joy. My mom and dad had just separated. Well, my sister passed away. 2 weeks later, my mom and dad separated. We were a bit, you know, we couldn't stay with my dad, so we were moving from house to house, like we were with my aunts, and then we moved on to another aunt. It was a hectic time. Then the Lord came, and he told me he loved me. Jesus told me he loved me. He revealed the love of the Father to me. And as he told me that, you know what, Siko, yes, I'm a great God, I'm the creator, but I'm a personal and I'm a relational God and I love you. That birthed a joy inside of me that I never even knew was possible. That joy that I had in that season outlasted any disappointment, any fear, any worry, any confusion that I had. I'm talking about that deep joy. That deep joy in our inner man, where no circumstance, where no person and no devil can take away. Unstoppable joy. Unstoppable joy. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I'm not talking about that fake it till you make it joy. I'm not talking about that pretentious joy that if I dance around and clap around a few times, then at least I look like I'm filled with joy. I'm talking about real joy. Real joy. And I believe God desires this for each and every one of us here. The joy of salvation. The joy of salvation. I remember feeling constantly this euphoria when I first got saved. It's like I was walking on the clouds, Jeff, for at least a good 2 years. Eh? Like I would wake up with a song in my heart. Like literally, it was the song that I felt in my spirit, but it was almost like very physical. I could hear it. Every day I would wake up and go to bed with an assurance that I'm loved, that I'm safe, that I'm secure, that whatever's going on around me is nothing compared to what I'm experiencing right now. That my mistakes, my failures could not take that joy away. Really, I felt, I said the other day, it felt like no test, you know, could prosper. No weapon could prosper that was formed against me. Because I had this joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Hallelujah. And I remember it would be just multiplying. I would go to class and people like, Siko, why are you so happy? And I'm like, because Jesus. And then people would be like, oh my gosh, like what's wrong with you? But it multiplied. Instead of dying down, that joy multiplied. It changed the entire atmosphere. Like people would also like catch on to that joy. Hallelujah. Because the word said he puts a new song in our mouths. Hallelujah. And people see you walking around and they're like, wow, look at that joy. And they begin to want to put their trust in the Lord. That joy of knowing that you've been forgiven. The joy of knowing that you are now made right with the Father. That you are a new creature. Come on, I had a different step after that. You know, the Lord really had to deal with some pride after that. But hey, I walked like a different person. Hey, you know, that then I got the title Jesus Freak at the end. But then I didn't really like that much, eh? But hey, I was like proud. I was so happy. Like, and nothing could stop that joy. The joy of knowing Jesus. And then life gets busy. Sin, compromise, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, but this joy. This joy now becomes a bit of a distant memory because life happens, right? And we expect life to happen. But I want to remind us this morning about something that David said. You know, when he cried out, Lord, yes, sin has come into my life, but restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore and revive your joy. And those who are walking in joy, God wants to expand That's why we need to take time to remember. Take time to remember. I've tried to make this a bit of a practice in my life where I take time to remember that season. And I'm like, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Make me feel the way you made me feel when you first encountered me. And I remember there'd be moments in my car, I would sit there for hours weeping. And I'd be like, thank you, God, for saving me. Who knows that song? I would sing that song for hours, and I would take time to remember what the Lord has done. And I'm trusting that God will begin to remind us afresh this morning, that we would partner with him in this journey and actively take time to remember. I know some of us have been walking with the Lord for a long time, but I promise you, the minute you start to sit down and try to remember, those feelings come back so quickly. Those things just, like the awareness of everything, how everything felt, how God saved you, it comes back so quickly, it begins to feel like it was just yesterday. When was the last time you sat down and took time to remember what the Lord saved you from and what the Lord saved you into? God wants to restore our joy. And then I remember another season. So I'm just painting some seasons in my own life. I remember another season when it comes to joy. That season was so riddled with joy. And I usually demarcate this season as just the joy of knowing his presence. Hallelujah. The joy of communing with the Holy Spirit and becoming more aware of his presence. I remember there was a time in my life where God blessed me with an insatiable hunger to be in his presence. I would be in his presence for hours. I would just be there praying in the Spirit, reading the Word, singing songs to the lover of my soul, or just being there, just still. I would just worship, and I'd lie on my bed until just the glory of God, I would feel his literal weight on my chest. The glory of his presence. And I would remember moments where I would start to break out in laughter and joy and song and praise. The joy of knowing his presence. I was obsessed with his presence. I remember friends trying to drag me out for coffee or do this, and just nothing compared with just being with Jesus in that season. My goodness. How it was just so natural for me to do things that stirred up joy. Because when you worship, it stirs up joy. When you read your word, it stirs up joy. When you are with people who are filled with real joy, it stirs up your joy. Doing things that stir up his joy in your life. How often do we do that? In that season, it came so easy for me to laugh. It was so easy for me to sing songs, to have shouts of praise. You know, the one thing about anxiety and all these things, you know, when you start to lack songs, when you start to lack just that feeling of wanting to praise God and all these things, you realize something is not 100% right. Joy looks like something. Joy looks like something. It looks like those songs. It looks like those shouts of praise. The thing about lack of joy in our lives is that it brings us to a place of silence. It steals our voice, literally. I remember the lowest time in my life, my voice. You would never even think in that season I would ever become a preacher. I couldn't sing songs. I couldn't laugh like every. In fact, I actually believed I was an introvert. That was what lack of joy did to me, literally. I stayed in my room, and I honestly believed that the Lord had made me an introvert. That's how deep this thing goes. It literally has the potential to even alter your personality. That does not glorify God. He knows who He's made you to be. It steals your praise. I remember it was just so easy in my daily activities, habits that I still have till this day. I would be just doing something, and then I would just, you know, blurt out just shouts of praise. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The joy of being in His presence, it's not just about changing your activities and being with the Lord 24 hours a day. It's actually learning to walk in His presence during those activities. For I am doing all things as unto the glory of the Lord. In that season, I realized that the one trial I would have in life, the biggest trial that I would ever had, is losing a sense of His presence. It's like there's many things that we can go through in life. There's a lot of pain, there's a lot of suffering, but none of those things, not even death, would compare to losing His presence. And I recognize now why the Stephens, you know, would just be on their knees, just being stoned, and they're just shining glory, because they are with God in that moment. Their one thing is fully satisfying them in that moment, His presence. Joy and the presence of the Holy Spirit go together. So remember, at first I said joy and salvation go together. Now I'm saying joy and the presence of the Holy Spirit go together. He is joy. He is joy. He is joy. I don't know how much I can shout this out, but He is joy. The word says that the fruit, the evidence of His presence in our lives, is joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's evidence of His Spirit being at work inside of us. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive joy. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive capacity to have joy. Guys, I feel like we have been sold lies. This is serious. We need to believe the Word of God. The fact that we can think we can be full of the Holy Spirit and not have joy. What is that? We are being shortchanged. It's available to us. Joy that doesn't come and go. Joy that doesn't come and go. Some of you here are tired because you've been on a roller coaster, because you only know a joy that comes and goes. Even that in itself is tiring. Lord, make us more aware of your joy that is available to us. Because joy does not come and go, just like the Holy Spirit does not come and go in your life. We just need to become more aware of His joy. We need to become more aware of His presence. The point is not to focus on joy. The point is to focus on Jesus, and joy will come. It's about an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, and the joy comes. It's about fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and joy comes. Some of us buying that new car or that new outfit, hallelujah. And yeah, you think now this is the joy. Yeah. I know, I've been there. I'm a shopaholic clothing person. And literally, if I would feel just a little bit upset, I would do retail therapy. Hallelujah. My husband is so happy to have this refined version of me who walks in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Otherwise, he would have a big problem. Guys, I remember being in the old house, the community house, when we first moved in. And every weekend, I would come with a shopping bag or whatever. Then I realized, the other Christians don't do this. Then I started hiding them, hallelujah. But God did a work in me, hallelujah. Joy that is short-lived, eh? If you have that boo thing, that relationship, then your joy is complete. I've been there as well. It's not true. It's short-lived. I'm talking about real joy. Joy that only comes from one source, Jesus Christ himself. I'm really trusting God to do something in this area. Because I've been thinking, God, you know what? We know what lies ahead in the days to come for your church. It's not just going to get easier, but we need your joy, Lord. We need your joy, Lord. The third time I encountered joy that was just, inexpressible and just so evident over time, I remember was when I started witnessing, when I started ministering to people. The joy of partnering with God in the harvest. The word says that, we sow in tears and we reap with shouts of joy. I remember it gave me such joy to see people being touched by the love of God, being touched by his power. I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? Like the joy of knowing that Jesus was truly alive in me. And he was flowing out to those around me. What a joy. The joy of partnering with God in bringing healing, salvation, and deliverance. Don't miss out on that joy. I became obsessed with praying for people. I became obsessed with witnessing. I became obsessed with ankles and all that. Is your ankle okay? Is your back okay? But really, there was such a joy in me. Yes, I had this compassion that the Lord had placed in me because all spiritual gifts are exercised through love. Hallelujah. And I also had this hatred that I developed for sickness, literally, because I realized that as much as love is powerful, some things you need to just hate. I just used to pray people because I hate you being sick, actually. I love you, but I hate the sickness that's in you. But the other thing I was reminded of that made everything worthwhile, that getting a bat, when someone's like, no, don't pray for me. I had this joy of just knowing that I could potentially partner with God in that moment in someone's restoration. Joy in witnessing. I had so much joy because of that, bringing in the harvest. Sometimes I would do it trembling, guys. I would step out trembling. In fact, not sometimes, oftentimes, I would step out trembling. But there was a joy that I knew I would have at the end of that process when someone got saved, when someone got healed, when someone got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it didn't just end there. The joy I started having when I started working with purpose in the workplace. So I'm not just talking about the spiritual things. When I would be in meetings and I would be tapping into the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God would come in that moment. And I would know, woo, Siko, you're not as bright as this. Now this is the Holy Spirit. That's joy of partnering with the Holy Spirit in the things that you do in your daily life. Don't limit God to just all these things around healing and all these things. God is in everything. Joy. Joy. Joy of partnering and building the kingdom with Jesus. And then the fourth time I also experienced joy was in a very difficult season that I had. I was in a job that I did not necessarily like. You know, I really felt to take that job, and like 2 days in, God was like, okay, baby girl, buckle up. It's not going to be nice. I was like, are you serious? I'm only 2 days in. And at that stage, most you're still very much on orientation. Everything's still nice. But the Lord was like, Siko, buckle up. This is training ground. And I remember saying, God, please release me. Like, I don't want to go through this. I remember this season was just so, I can't even tell you how much it took a toll on me. It took such a toll on me that for the first time in my life, I doubted God's goodness towards me. And then I got angry about that. I'm like, God, I've lost my sister. My parents got divorced. Like, life hasn't always been easy. Now I'm doubting your goodness over a job. It was just so angering for me, but that was my reality. I was like, God, how can you put me in this place? Are you really good? Why would you purposely do this? And I could almost feel the joy of the Lord just wanting to just leave. I didn't know what to do. And I remember like me just saying, God, are you really good? And the Lord said, no, don't worry about my goodness. I'm good. Think about what I am doing in you. It's more about what is good for you, Siko. Not my goodness. I am perfect. I'm good. But there's something I'm doing in you. And I really started to then tap into the joy of the Lord, eh? Then I'm like, okay, yeah, every day, you know what? Standing in the word of God, declaring, you know what, God, this is the day you have made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Even if I'm building in a season where things are falling apart, I will be glad and I will rejoice. And I started to see something as well. How joy can be evidence or proof of your faith. Do you believe God? Check your joy. Check your joy. When the process was processing me, when the process was processing me, I had full joy. And I tell you, in that season, that's when I saw the most miracles. Can you believe it? My joy was full. My joy was full. I was overflowing. For the first time, I chose to stay in the will of God. I chose to obey the joy of obedience. The joy of staying yielded to His will. The joy of surrendering beyond your comfort zone. The joy of relying on Him, not on your circumstances, not on your abilities, not on people. Relying on Him, not on getting your own way. The joy of obedience. There I really got to terms with that scripture that says, you know what? The joy of the Lord is indeed my strength. Because I know right now I am in the will of God. I am in the will of God. I would literally put on that garment of praise. I wanted to quit. I wanted to quit, and some of you are in seasons right now where you want to quit. But there was a cost to quitting. Because if I quit on that job, I knew I was quitting on being in His will. And those of us right now who want to quit, and you're weighing the options and you're like, it's not worth it. You want to be in His will. You want to be in His will. And I pray that you would experience the joy of the Lord in that. And then I made the decision. I made the decision. I was like, you know what? Now I'm going to frustrate the enemy with my joy. Ha! I'm going to frustrate the enemy with just peace. You know, just really walking in the Word. Living out the Word. I will use my praise as a weapon. Someone said it well, that you don't wait for a situation to change, but you rejoice to change your situation. You rejoice to change your situation. There, I learned to praise God in advance. Hallelujah. I began to just praise God in advance. I was like, now I'm praising you, God, like my prayer's been answered. Right? Bringing that sacrifice of praise. Bringing that sacrifice of praise. My God, Habakkuk 3:17-18, you know what? Though the fig tree does not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, yet I will rejoice. Joy is not the absence of pain, guys. But the product of being in a trusting relationship with the God Almighty. Knowing that He's your exceedingly great reward in everything. Having that joy that got Jesus to the cross. It's not like Jesus enjoyed dying on that cross. He didn't enjoy the event, but the outcome that brought Him joy. Jesus was the happiest person alive. Can I tell you that? It's so good for me to watch The Chosen. You know, I'm like, yeah, Jesus, like you're so happy. Jesus, the Word says that He loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God set Him above His companions by anointing Him with the oil of gladness. If there was ever a happy person on the earth, it was Jesus. And even right now, the Holy Spirit is working out that same joy in us. You wonder why when the Holy Spirit comes upon some people and then the joy of the Lord just comes upon them. The Holy Spirit is the carrier of joy. The Word says that the kingdom comes in righteousness, peace and joy. joy. The Holy Spirit is the giver of joy. Joy is the very atmosphere of heaven. Joy is the very atmosphere of heaven. When we say, Lord, let your kingdom come, we say, God, let joy come in our lives. When we talk about joy, we say, when we talk about heaven, we say, you know what, there will be no more weeping, no more tears, no more sorrow. We will be full of joy. Paul and Silas in prison in Acts 16. They are praying there and just praising and singing hymns. Hallelujah. And that place begins to shake up, you know, and their shackles are untied. Hallelujah. Because God, yes, it might be hard right now. God, I'm tired, I'm in pain, and this situation doesn't look good. But I know and I believe you because I have tasted and I have seen your goodness. I know that you are involved in every detail of my life. God, I know that you love me and you are working all things out for your glory and for my good. Joy. As we close off, I want to start ending off with this. We need to check our joy. Joy is one of those things that you don't actually realize how important it is until you don't have it. And no one can take it away from you, but often we take it for granted. Losing your joy as a believer is a great risk. It's a real danger as a believer to lose your joy. It's not a great risk only to just your quality of life that you won't enjoy life, but actually it's a great risk to your faith. When you lose your joy, you lose your strength. Remember, we said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when you lose your joy in the Lord, you lose your strength. When you lose your strength in the Lord, you actually become spiritually weak. When you are spiritually weak, you become vulnerable to the enemy. Do you hear me? Paul writes in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. He repeats himself. He says, I don't mind repeating myself because I want to safeguard your faith. I am protecting your faith. Why? Because we said that joy is evidence of faith. So we need to take it seriously. We need to take our joy seriously. Depression, anxiety, fear, all these things, they're one of the biggest things that the enemy is using against our generation, against the church. So we need to take it seriously. We need to close the door on depression. We need to close the door on disappointments and discouragement and anxiety and fear. This weight needs to leave. As we set our hearts and our minds on Him again, hallelujah. As we stay connected to Him, as we remain in Him, our joy is made complete. So I'd like us to stand this morning. And I'm just going to say a prayer for us. And you're welcome to just lift your hands up to just receive from God. takes faith to have joy, guys. It requires faith to have joy. So this morning, as we just pray, we just say, God, we thank you that joy is available to us. We thank you. Lord, we repent, Lord, where we've opened the door to fear and anxiety, God, and all these other things. We acknowledge, Lord, that worry has taken over, but we receive your joy this morning. We choose to become more aware of your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, help us to release joy and singing and laughter in our lives wherever we go. Lord, may you fill us with all joy and peace as we believe in you, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may abide in hope. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.